Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
33. Tathā na te madhava tava kakvacchid. Prashyanti marga twayi baddha sarida.
Prashyanti marga twayi baddha sarida.
Twaya bhigupta vicharanti nirbhaya. Vinayaka nipabha murdha suprabho. Tathā na te madhava tava kakvacchit. Brashyanti margat twayi baddha sarida. Twaya bhigupta vicharanti nirbhaya. Vinayaka nikapan murdha suprabho. Tata. Like them, the non-devotees, not. They, the devotees. Madhava. O Lord, husband of the goddess of fortune. Tavaka. The followers of the devotional path. The devotees, kvacit, in any circumstances, brashyanti, fall down, margat, from the path of devotional service, twayi, unto you, baddha saurida, because of being fully attached to your lotus feet. Twaya, by you, Abhigupta, always protected from all dangers. Vicharanti, they move. Nirbhaya, without fear. Vinayaka anikapa. The enemies who maintain paraphernalia to oppose the bhakti cult. Murdasu. On the heads. Prabhu. O Lord. Translation in purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. O Madhava, Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord of the Goddess of Fortune, if devotees completely in love with you, sometimes fall from the path of devotion. They do not fall like non-devotees, for you still protect them. Thus they fearlessly traverse the heads of their opponents and continue to progress in devotional service. Purport. Purport. Devotees generally do not fall down. But if circumstantially they do, the Lord, because of their strong attachment to Him, gives them protection in all circumstances. Thus, even if devotees fall down, they are still strong enough to traverse the heads of their enemies. Traverse? Walk across. Right over. Tirasthinam, gantam. We have actually seen that our Krishna consciousness movement has many opponents, such as the deprogrammers, who instituted a strong legal case against the devotees. We thought that this case would take a long time to settle. This was back in 1976. But because the devotees were protected by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we unexpectedly won the case in one day. Thus, a case that was expected to continue for years was settled in a day because of the protection of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has promised in the Bhagavad Gita, Kunteya pratijanihi, name bhaktak pranashyati. O son of Kunti, declare it boldly that my devotee never perishes. In history, there are many instances of devotees like Chitraketu, Indradyumna, and Maharaj Bharata, who circumstantially fell down but were still protected. Maharaj Bharata, for example, because of his attachment to a deer, thought of the deer at the time of death, and therefore in his next life he became a deer. Yam yam vapi smaran bhavam chyajatyanti kalevaram. Because of protection by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, however, the deer remembered his relationship with the Lord and next took birth in a good Brahminical family and performed devotional service. Shuchinam Srimatam Gehe Yoga Brashto Bijayate. Similarly, Chitraketu fell down and became a demon. Vitrasura, but he too was protected. Thus, even if one falls down from the path of Bhakti Yoga, one is ultimately saved. If a devotee is strongly situated in devotional service, the Supreme Personality of Godhead has promised to protect him. Kunteya pratijanihi, name bhaktak pranashyati. Oh, that's the second time this has been said, quoted in this verse. But even if a devotee circumstantially falls down, he is protected by Madhava. The word Madhava is significant. Ma means Lakshmi, the mother of all opulences. And she is always with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And if a devotee is in touch with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, all the opulences of the Lord are ready to help him. Yatra Yogeshvara Krishna, Yatra Parto Dhanur Dharaha, Tatra Shrir Vijayo Bhutir, Dhruva Nitir Matirmama. Wherever there is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, and his devotee Arjuna, Partha, there is victory, opulence, extraordinary power, and morality. The opulences of a devotee are not a result of karma kanda vichar. A devotee is always protected by all of the Supreme Lord's opulences, of which no one can deprive him. Tesham nityabhi yuktanam yogakshemam vahamyaham. Thus a devotee cannot be defeated by any opponents. A devotee, therefore, should not deviate knowingly from the path of devotion. The adherent devotee is assured all protection from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In this verse, the devatas are calling Krishna by the name Madhava. We sing this song, Jai Radha Madhava, Kunja Bihari. So the gopis like to call Krishna by the name Madhava. Although they're probably not thinking of the etymology. Well, the etymology, he's husband of the goddess of fortune. I don't think they want to think of him as that. They want to think of them as their boyfriend, not some other lady's husband. Yes? Killer of Madhu. Yeah, that they like to think about. But not that he's husband of the goddess of fortune. But it is another meaning of the word. Krishna in Dwarka, Krishna in Vaikuntha is also called Madhava. Dova is Vada or husband. Husband of Ma. Ma can be Durga, but the original Ma is Lakshmi. We don't... What is it? Rigveda, Parishishta says... Chama Chobalam Prapadye, Chobalat Chamam Prapadye. This is Veda, appendix to the Rig Veda. I take shelter of Shama by taking shelter of, or by the help of Shabala. And I take shelter of Shabala by the help of Shama. This is Radha Krishna, Radha Madhava, described in the Rig Veda. And the point is that we have to worship the two of them together. We're trying to develop Yugala Priti, love for the two of them together. We don't, our mood of worship is not to worship either one separately. We don't worship Krishna all by himself. Krishna is always with his devotees. If the Mayavadis will make a murti of Krishna all by himself and worship that, and they'll make a black and white photograph of it. Black and white, Krishna all by himself. But the proper Vaishnavas, even all the Sampradayas, never worship Krishna, God, all by himself. At least Krishna should be with a cow or something, a deer, not by himself. And the most ramya kachit upasana vajavadu vardaganaya kalpita. The most favorable, that means that pleases Krishna the most, the most favorable way of worshipping Krishna is that was exhibited by the young cowherd girls of Raja, the gopis. So the greatest devotees of Krishna are the gopis. So Krishna, with the gopis, is our supreme object of worship. Hey Krishna Karuna Sindho, Dina Bandho Jagatpate, Gopesha, Gopika Kanta, Radha Kanta Namostute. This is progressively deeper realization of the highest love that can be exhibited for Krishna. Hey Krishna Karuna Sindho, Krishna, you are the ocean of mercy, Dina Bandho, the friend of the fallen. Okay, Krishna's friend of the fallen, Patita Pavana. But not only the fallen, he's even a better friend for those who aren't fallen, for his intimate devotees, not just for the people in, you know, it's not that you have to want to be Krishna to be your friend, you have to be in Maya. If you're not in Maya, Krishna will be a better friend. But he's, first of all, for all the fallen conditioned souls, he's their friend. And what to speak of those who are not fallen, who are his intimate, sheltered devotees? Dinabandhu Jagatpate, Lord of the whole universe. That's okay. But the intimate relationship with Krishna is found on a different level, in Vrajadam. Gopesha, Lord of the Gopas, the cowherds, the cowherd community. Men, women, children, old men, old ladies, and their cows. Gopas, the Gopas, are never without the goes. How can you be a Gopa if you don't have any cows? These people may call themselves Gwalas, but they're keeping buffaloes. You know? So they're bank wallas, not gwalas. Yeah. Bank wallas. They're keeping buffalo, not keeping cows, because it's not good business anymore to keep a cow. Thanks to the government of India, it's not economic anymore. But because of government policies, it's not a good idea to keep cows. Better to keep buffaloes. Better business. So, but what is a gopa if he doesn't have any go? A keeper of cows with no cows. It's like a banker that has no money. You know, I have my bank and the safe is empty. So what kind of bank is that? What kind of banker are you? You have no money at all. You know, the State Bank of India, you go to the Mathura branch, they have the chief officer has on his wall the public declaration of how much money is in the bank. So many crores, not so many. Yeah, some 10,000 crores, that's all the money they have in the head branch State Bank of India. You know, but they have to announce, you know, we are an important bank, we have money, here's our money, how much we have. And if they have nothing, then who's going to want to deal with that bank? No, that's not a bank. A gopa without any cows is not a gopa. So, Vraja Bhava means Krishna with the cowherds, and the cowherds means with the cows. Vraja without cows is something wrong. It's not supposed to be without cows. Even if you fill it up with buffaloes, even if you build condominiums and fill it up with dillywallas, yeah, it's not, something's wrong. It's supposed to be filled up with cows. Cow herds with their cows. That's what Vraja is supposed to be filled with. Gopesha. Krishna is the Lord of the Gopas and the Gos. The cowherds and their cows. This is very intimate feature of God. God in his office, he's got, sitting on his throne in Vaikuntha, he's carrying his four weapons and four arms, he's ready to defeat all the enemies, he's ready to benedict all his servants. Lord Narayan, that's God in his office. But God goes home to Vraja in the evening, when he's done with his work, and he's with his family and friends, the Gopas and the Gos, Gopesha. But after he's gone home and given some time to his family, then he sneaks out late at night to be with his most dear devotees, the Gopis, Gopika Kanta. This is the more intimate, most intimate aspect of God, lover of the Gopis. And among all the gopis, Srimati Radharani, Radha Kanta. So we're chanting Jai Radha Madhava. And even some members of the Gaudiya Mutt. This is a song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. It is an authorized song. Lovely song. And even the Babajis and Radhakund now like to sing this song. Even though it's written by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. But all the Babajis, it's a very popular song now. Especially in Radhakund. But some of Prabhupada's godbrothers were questioning such an intimate song, and you're singing it in front of everybody, every Bhagavatam class, in public, pandals. It was first sung by Prabhupada at a pandal program, a public program in Allahabad, because the deity of Radha Madhava was brought there to the pandal. I think it became Prabhupada's personal deities. Radha Madhava, so he sang the song, and now after that, every single Bhagavatam class in ISKCON begins with Radha Madhava's song. Radha Madhava is Krishna and Srimati Radharani, most intimate aspect of God. So here the devatas are calling Krishna Madhava, which really means he's the lover of Srimati Radharani. But also, Srimati Radharani is the original supreme Lakshmi. The original Lakshmi. And Prabhupada explains in the purport, this is very significant. Because of worshipping the husband of the goddess of fortune, his devotees are never lacking the blessings of the goddess of fortune. They have all opulences. Even the devotees who have no money, they're actually being protected. Just like Sudama, Kuchela, Sudama Brahman, Krishna's friend from the Gurukula. He was very poor. His family was suffering. His children were practically starving. But he was totally under the protection of the supreme goddess of fortune, Srimati Rukmini. He simply had to come to Dwarka to get her blessings. And she could not withhold them. She blessed him with everything. The opulences are there for any devotee, even if you don't see them. This is Yogamaya. We think we're poor. But devotees of Krishna are never poor. We think that we fall down, that we're in a fallen condition. That's good. We should think we're in a fallen condition. Otherwise, we'll be proud and arrogant. If we think we're as good as we are, then we'll be disqualified. Because the qualification for entering into Krishna's abode, his abode Goloka, is you must have absolute humility, dainyam. If you think you're as good as you are, what does it mean if you think you're better than you are? Then you're useless. But even if you think you're as good as you are, then you cannot enter Krishna's abode. You must think that you're much worse than you actually are. You must have complete humility. And that you get by associating with the actual Brajbasis, the Brajbasis who have that mood, Krishna's eternal associates. We think we're fallen, which is correct attitude. We should think ourselves lower than the blade of grass. Trinadapi sunichena, tororiva sahishnuna, amanina, manadena, kirtani aksadahari. We should think ourselves less important than a blade of grass. Not, I'm an important man, I know the minister, I know this man, who do you think you are? Now, I read in this book, Being Indian, new book, describing the Indian psyche. And he describes how some lady was, people were getting ready to go on a plane, going through in Delhi airport, getting ready, you know, going through customs, not customs, security, to get on the plane, domestic flight. But you have to, in Delhi airport, you have to go through a very severe customs. You have to come and check, look at your, you have to identify your bags that have already been x-ray checked. You have to say, this is my bag. They put all the bags in front of the entry, you know, the leaving gate, and you have to come and identify your bag. If you don't do that, then your bag won't come with you. You have to identify the bag, and then they put it on the plane. So this lady came in to identify her bag, but she was carrying her handbag. And the security guard said, no, you can't. You have to leave this the handbag in the waiting lounge. You can't bring it in here, security area. And she got mad. She ignored him. He was simply doing his duty. You have to leave your personal thing in the waiting lounge, come out and identify your bag. Finally, she screamed at me, yelled at him, don't you know I'm a member of parliament? Yeah, so this is very curious. One thing I learned from the book, Being Indian, if anybody gives you a hard time in India, just yell at them, don't you know I'm a member of parliament? Yeah, try that. But this is arrogance. You know, this is opposite of a proper spiritual attitude. It's prevalent in India. You may not be a member of parliament, but whatever you are, you're going to try to use that to, you know, to give someone else a hard time, to get what you want. Use your position to prevent other people from abusing you by abusing them. You know, that's life in India. But it's not devotional life. Trinadapi sunichena. Proper attitude is think yourself lower than a blade of grass. That means, go ahead and step on my head. You know, give me a hard time. I'm just a blade of grass. What do I expect? Here, the verse is talking about stepping over the heads of the army leaders of your enemies. You're lucky if you can avoid getting killed by your enemies and survive the battle. But here we're talking about walking on top of their heads. That's quite victorious. You know, not only do you avoid getting killed by them, but you can step on their heads. You know, great victory. You know, maybe you can defeat them. Maybe you can make them run away. But you're going to, even better than that, you'll step right on their heads. So like that, we have to take the opposite position. Spiritual victory means let everybody step on your head. I don't mean let yourself be abused. There's another side of it. You know, you have to do your duty for Krishna. You have to protect your service. You have to protect the reputation of Krishna and of ISKCON. So if people insult Krishna, insult ISKCON. If people don't let you do your service, you have to protect your service. You have to protect the reputation of your guru, of ISKCON, and so on. For that, we have to become ferocious. But to protect ourselves and our ego, we should do nothing. To protect our own egos. We have to protect our bodies, our lives, or the things that we're using for Krishna's service. You know, I've been given some items, paraphernalia, to be used in Krishna's service, including money and property. It's not mine, it's Krishna's. I can't let other people just take it away because it belongs to Krishna. I have to defend it. But my own ego, I should welcome anybody who wants to come and take a sledgehammer and take a shot at my ego. I should welcome it. Please insult me. Yeah. That's a very mature attitude. We may not be able ready to do that, but that's what we're supposed to do. Welcome anybody who tries to dismantle our ego, because that ego is what's keeping us from actually becoming Krishna's pure devotees. But devotees are confident that Krishna will always protect them. And Krishna's, they worship Krishna along with the Supreme Goddess of Fortune So they're not worried that they're going to be poverty stricken. They're confident. Maybe you won't, you know, have the material luxuries that you're used to. Some of us come from poor backgrounds. We're not used to luxury. We join ISKCON and it's a step up. You know, some of us in the third world countries. Some of us, it's a step down economically to become a brahmachari in ISKCON or even a grihastha. You have to live a simpler life. It depends. It's different for each one. Some of us come from opulent situations and we have to, you know, live simpler now. But we shouldn't think that we're not being given everything. Maybe not the unnecessary luxuries that we're addicted to, but everything that's actually useful and necessary, Krishna provides. Because he's standing there and we're worshipping him along with the goddess of fortune. And she's not going to leave us deprived. That's Prabhupada's message here in this purport. And it's in contrast to the previous verse. The non-devotees, even they climb up to heaven, even they climb up to Vaikuntha, to the Brahmajyoti, they have to fall down again because they don't have devotion for Krishna's lotus feet. But the devotees are never defeated. They're always victorious. They can walk over the heads of their enemies, even if they have any enemies. Okay, I'll stop. Any questions or comments? Yes, Prabhu.
You mentioned if somebody criticizes us, we should take it and not do anything about it, not defend ourselves.
Well, but yes.
And then, but if somebody criticizes our spiritual master, ISKCON, then we should make an attempt to defend them.
Yes.
What if, just a point of etiquette, if a god brother of your spiritual master criticizes your spiritual master to you, senior sannyasi or somebody like that?
This is between God brothers. The disciple should step back. Mm. If there's a disagreement between your guru and his God brothers, and you're dragged into it, you should drag yourself out of it. You should just excuse yourself and step aside, walk away from it. Mm. And you should ask. If someone starts criticizing your guru, you should say, please, I'm not supposed to hear criticism of my guru. Mm. You know, don't talk about that in front of me, please. Mm-hmm. But you shouldn't get into the fight. The disagreement that's between God brothers.
Continuation of that question. What if that devotee, who is a God brother of the spiritual master, says, Prabhu, just use your logic. I mean, you understand, I'm just trying to present you the facts. Just don't accept his criticism. I'm just giving you the facts. He's just even insisting like that he wants to present to the facts and just use your logic. And he's also a Prabhupada disciple. And
well, if you should try to avoid hearing that.
Okay.
If you're forced to hear it, you know, not much you can do about, you know, hearing things. Your ears are always open, unless you stick something inside them. You know, when people say something, you hear it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what do you do about it? Well, then if you've heard some, even, you know, what sounds to be the facts, you know, it seems to be a factual account, supposedly. Then you have to go to a senior devotee, another God brother, senior God brother, or your spiritual master, and inquire, you know, they told me this, please, what am I supposed to do about it? Yeah, what am I supposed to think about it? Then go and ask. Either ask the spiritual master directly, you know, this person said this, or go to a senior God brother and ask them. You know. Because then, I mean, you've had poison put into your ears. You gotta go get some treatment. Better to avoid hearing it. Mm. Let, you know, the criticizers and the criticized deal with it. You just stay away from it if we can. It's not the business of the disciples to get into that if they can avoid it.
I mean, not the.
And if you're in the crossfire, then you have to go, you know, to the medics and get treatment.
You know, I can exactly present exactly the same sentence. Prabhuji, I don't want to hear because it's, you know, it's not good for me. I don't want to hear this. And you are God brothers, you have to deal. No,
right.
No, I just want you to know these facts and just insistingly just push his fingers about.
Well, yeah, then you may be stuck hearing it. Yeah. Then you got to go get decontaminated after that.
Anyway, just with a small step.
Yeah. Really, you should. If you hear something, you know, that threatens your faith in your spiritual master, then you have to go and consult with someone who can, you know, clarify the matter to you. It's dangerous to hear these things. And it's really thoughtless and inconsiderate to be exposing disciples to that.
Yeah.
Yes.
And there was this one or two instances, you know, I was reading in Prabhupada's times, that Prabhupada, I think one of his godbrothers, I think Bon Maharaj or something,
yeah,
and he was there in some meeting with some Prabhupada disciple, I think it was Tomas.
Yes.
And, it was a meeting, and Bon Maharaj asked Prabhupada's disciple to keep quiet.
Yes.
And Prabhupada said, why didn't you ask him this, or, you know, so...
Prabhupada said to whom? To which one?
To his son, I mean, his
disciple.
Disciple. Yeah.
Why did you
not oppose him, or so...
Why did you not oppose him?
I mean, he said, why you could have asked him, why should I keep quiet, are you the president, or something like that, you know?
Well, that's not the general principle. Not in general, we should fight our guru's godbrothers. But if the guru tells us to, that's a special case. That's exception to the rule.
No,
the general rule is that disciple should keep quiet in front of the godbrother, even, you know, shouldn't fight back.
Like,
it should be polite to the godbrother.
In respect to, let's say, if we meet somebody from Gaudiya Mart or some other place,
yeah,
and they start criticizing ISKCON, because that is essentially what was happening here, more or less.
Yeah, but probably the better strategy then...
Just go away.
Yeah, or just don't take it serious. You know, just say thank you very much and walk away. Not to get into a, you know, they want to fight, don't give it to them.
Okay.
We'd rather defuse it. Let them yell and scream all they want, and we just go on about our business, and eventually they'll come to their senses.
Yeah. On a one-to-one situation.
Yeah, on a one-to-one, like, you know, but still we'd be polite. We can still be polite. They're Vaishnavas, and we have no fight with them. They want to fight with us, but we don't want to fight with them. Why should we want to fight with them? They're just being immature. So you want to fight with some baby? You know, it's not fair. It's not fair to fight with a baby anyway. And in that case of Prabhupada wanting his disciple to fight, you know, his own godbrother, that's the guru's prerogative. If the guru tells you, fight with my godbrothers, then you do it. But we don't do it on our own. The general rule is don't do that. But if the guru tells you to do it, then that's exception to the rule.
Okay. And if it's in a public forum where they are insulting, I think this was the case, because the person was insulting... So is that necessary argue for the movement, or
yes,
then
if someone insults the movement, you should defend. But you can defend without getting without being insulting in response. There's nothing accomplished by it. You know, it just escalates the nastiness. He insults, you know, and then you insult back. You just put him in his place politely. Yeah. With the fact, you know, and make sure everybody, that the innocent people, understand that he's wrong and you're right. But don't come down to his level, and then you're not going to look right anyway. Someone is, you know, just unreasonable and offensive. You don't want to fight back on his level. You want to maintain the high ground, you know, be noble in your response.
Yeah, because these kind of situations, like, you know, sometimes Prabhupada's disciples have told the Prabhupada, how can we go and tell him that, you know, there was also this...
The Prabhupada insisted, you tell. Sometimes?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, like, you gave an example recently of, you know, he said, go and kick somebody, you know, who was rolling, and...
No, it wasn't me, but yeah.
I was still, like, when Moshe Haji, like, Baba was rolling in front, crying in front of Radha Shyam Sundar.
Yeah.
You know, Prabhupada was asking what to do in case of ecstatic symptoms.
Kick him.
In this case, Prabhupada told you, go and kick him hard and see what he says. And then you would presume he would have just went and kicked him hard. He stood up, stopped crying, started yelling, I'll curse you, become no big, whatever. But I see he's not ecstatic, he's just pretending for
cheap. Okay. Anyway.
Guru tells you.
The guru tells you to do something, even if it's against the ordinary rules, you do it. I don't mean against, you know, basic morality, but if it's a general rule, don't fight with Vaishnavas, but the guru tells you to fight with somebody, you fight. Yeah. verbally.
And in those cases, there wouldn't be any offense.
No, it's carrying out the order of the guru. If it's bona fide order, I just carry it out. Authentic order. That's Arjuna was told to fight and try to kill his gurus, but Krishna was telling him to do it. He couldn't question that Krishna was wrong. Arjuna didn't even say that. He just said, it's not practical what you're telling me to do. There's going to be bad consequences. He didn't say, Krishna, you don't know what you're talking about. He never said that. Arjuna never dared to say, even though he's Krishna's friend, he never told Krishna that he was outright wrong. He just said, I can't do it. Sorry, Krishna, you're right, but I can't do what you asked me to do. And then he just sat down and started crying. Arjuna put down his bow and started crying. But he didn't stand up against Krishna. Never did that. So a guru tells you, you have to, even if you can't do what he says, you have to be very polite in declining. You cannot give up your respect or oppose the guru, even if he tells you something impossible.
साहब कहते हैं कि संत से संत मिले करे दो दो बात संत से संत मिले करे दो दो बात गधे से गधा मिले खाए दो दो लात
गधा is what
donkeys
two donkeys meet together they fight sticks in the face
lata
lata stick
legs
Yes. Yes.
Sant se sant mile kare do do baat.
Okay, but what if one sant meets one donkey? Then the sant should remain a sant. He shouldn't also become a donkey. Yeah. So we have to not come down to the degraded level of those who are trying to oppose us. Don't become a donkey. Because you're meeting donkeys. Okay. Yes, bro.
On the one side, we should welcome, as you said, if somebody or anybody would come and insult us. How could we say? Is this the proper attitude for Madhyamadhikari? Because it says you should avoid those who are envious, Vishatsu.
Right.
And so. Is it a level, as you said, mature understanding? Does it mean that this level more than Madhyama?
Yes, it is. It's actually a qualification of a Paramahamsa that he can tolerate all insults. A Madhyama has difficulty in tolerating all sorts of insults, and therefore, better he just avoid them. A Paramahamsa can sit there and let everybody get, like Rishabhdev, everyone's spitting in his face. Madhyamadhikari, if everyone started spitting and urinating on him, he would get upset. So Madhyama is not qualified enough to tolerate everything. And also, if you're insulted, but inside the insult is also insult of your guru and of Krishna, then you have to fight back. It may be mixed, not just insulting you, but also insulting your guru and Krishna. Then you have to oppose it. Okay. Thank you. Okay. Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai.